together.
Welcome to this version of America Tonight. Hey, everybody. Hope things are going well in your little corner of the world. We still live in the greatest nation on the face of the earth, even though we're all fighting each other. Whether it's for a tiny, tiny piece of land, or for a little bit of extra money in our checks, or to change the ridiculous spending that continues out of Washington that, frankly, is crippling us. But that's an old argument, and we've been talking about that for much too long on this show. You know, really, we're stuck in between that proverbial rock and a hard place right now. And ultimately, where does it end up? Let's see what happens in November of this year. Here's a real shocker, though, talking about what's coming up in a presidential race. How about this? If I told you that some of your Republican friends, if you're a Republican, might be saying to you at breakfast, I hate Barack Obama. Oh, he's a socialist. I hate the people around him. He's a terrible president. Blah, 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 blah. And then, in reality, they are closet supporters. I saw a link to this when I first woke up. I was looking at some headlines, and I thought it was somebody pranking me, actually, one of my friends. But it's true. What I happened to see on this website, and it's the WND website that I was looking at, Joseph Farah's thing, and one of the things that he had as a headline that was rotating around, one of the nuggets, I'll call it, it's not a thing, one of the nuggets of information that he had floating around was for all of this criticism of Barack Obama, this is a do or die year, all that other kind of stuff. They did a poll. They did a WND Wentzel poll, and it showed that none of the current crop of Republican presidential candidates has really solidified the base of the party. No joke. We knew that. With 1 in 5 Republican voters, though, leaning towards support of Obama in November, saying, if we don't have the right person, we're voting for Obama. We don't have to vote for the Republican candidate. We can vote for whoever we want to. So how about that? That's a big improvement in the president's prospects compared to the last time around. And, you know, why is that? Why are the Republicans now, a chunk of Republicans, saying that they would vote for Obama? Well, in every case, because they didn't think that the person was conservative enough, whether it's Mitt Romney that we're talking about, if we wanted to be specific and drill it down. They didn't like what the offerings were, the four people left, except for the matchup against Ron Paul, because they did the matchup thing. Well, if Obama matches up against Mitt Romney, if the president matches up against Newt Gingrich or Rick Santorum, but in every case except for the last matchup, Ron Paul, more than 20% of the Republican voters said that they would support, more likely, they really would, support Obama than the Republican challenger. But Ron Paul is close, as 19% of them said they were more likely to support Obama than Ron Paul. So what's up with that? Do you think your friends who are playing the part when they're at the lodge, where they're at the coffee shop with you, complaining loudly, unhappy with their employment situation, but really they're pulling a fast one on you? Well, the Republicans did a little dance the last couple of days, at least those who want to become president, because remember, you had Minnesota and Colorado and then Missouri, which was non-binding, the caucus there. But you had excitement for Rick Santorum, and Rick Santorum is running away with it. He's supposed to come on our show, by the way, in the next couple of weeks. In fact, we're supposed to be able to talk to, supposed to catch up with every single one of the candidates. But Rick Santorum says, look, the bottom line is, if you don't like what's happening at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, please, please look my way. Check it out.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't stand here to claim to be the conservative alternative to Mitt Romney. I stand here to be the conservative alternative to Barack Obama. There's probably another person who maybe is listening to your cheers here tonight also. And that might be at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. You better start listening to the voice of the people. Your votes today were not just heard loud and wide across the state of Missouri and Minnesota, but they were heard loud and louder all across this country. And particularly in a place that I suspect, maybe in Massachusetts, they were heard particularly loud tonight.
All right, so there's Rick Santorum just flat out saying, forget everybody else and leave them in the dust, and let's just talk about Obama for a minute. Ron Paul always talks about the Constitution and defending liberty. I mean, that's really who this man is. You got to give it to him. He's authentic. He owns that lane. He came in second in Minnesota in the caucus there, and he's pretty excited about it, pretty pumped up, and he was really peddling the message.
It's the cause of liberty that we must restore, and we are well on our way, and we're going to keep this momentum, and thank you very much.
All right, short and sweet. That's what Ron Paul likes to do. Coming up, let me set the menu for you, especially because it's short and sweet. I say short and sweet. One of the things that we're going to talk about is the situation in Iran and what we're going to be forced to do. If we, being the United States, meaning that we, if it is in our best interest to go to war, would you support that? If a month from now I got on the air and said, listen, my source at the Pentagon, and I'm just saying, is saying that there is the possibility of World War III, or that's what people are calling it, if we open up that can of worms with Iran and there's no negotiating and all that other stuff and the sanctions, the tough sanctions, not the slap on your wrist sanctions of the past don't work, would you support it? Or would you be furious that we were in this situation again? The one place that we always, I think, had to be very concerned about was Iran. And yet all of the efforts have been in every other place but Iran. So now you've got the U.S. and Israel who are pretty much split on how you should deter Iran. How do you deter a country like that from doing what they're doing, meaning trying to get a nuke? And in that region, they think they should be able to enrich uranium, that they're proud of it and they want to do that. Israel's defense minister coined this new phrase, zone of immunity. That's what he's saying the circumstances are under which Israel would judge that it couldn't hold off from an attack because of Iran's effort to produce a bomb and what a threat that would be to Israel because they would be vulnerable to any attack. But when is that moment going to arrive? Oh, if we only had a crystal ball. We have something a little bit better, though, a journalist who has dug very deep into this and has his own opinion on where we're headed and what's going to happen in Iran, and that's Gareth Porter. Got a little snippet of Gareth that I'm going to let you hear about Iran and that situation that was swept under the rug. Remember that whole assassination attempt, the Saudi Arabian ambassador in Washington, that whole bill of goods that we were sold? He has some thoughts on what that was really about. That's coming up next on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price, and you could lose money. But it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold, or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk, soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally, instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
Only 70 plus days until the world's greatest auction gets underway in professional sports. Best you can't guess what it is. The answer's next with me, the Sports Princess on Sports Shorts.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Stouffer's, helping bring your family together with wholesome dinner options, even on the busiest of nights. Find dinner table ideas to bring your family together at letsfixdinner.com. To get kids involved in dinner time conversation, ask specific questions, not broad ones. Instead of what happened today at school, try what was the best thing that happened today. The more specific you are, the more they'll have to say. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
NFL draft is one of the most anticipated events in the offseason. Teams set up war rooms, trade up and down in the draft order, hoping to secure the best player from the college ranks. There are 7 rounds and 256 picks. It lasts 3 days. This year it starts on April 26th. The first draft was held in 1936 at the Ritz in Philly. 90 players were on the list. The first chosen was Jay Berwanger. The Eagles couldn't sign the University of Chicago Heisman Trophy winner, so they traded him to the Bears. He still passed, wanting to remain an amateur. One thing hasn't changed since the 30s. The team with the worst record the previous year gets to draft first, unless they trade it away. This year, when the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, opens things up at Radio City Music Hall in New York, the Colts go first after a dismal 2-14 season. Indianapolis is expected to pick Stanford quarterback Andrew Luck. I'm the Sports Princess with Sports Shorts. The death of Whitney Houston, what happened, especially even though the L.A. coroner is being a little bit vague and saying it's going to be 6 to 8 weeks before the official cause of death. We know that she was taking a lot of prescription drugs, and then there was alcohol perhaps involved, and just a very sad, sad story and a sad commentary, really, on where we are right now in the U.S. A lot of people mixing potent prescription drugs together, and not even actually, just forget the alcohol part. They don't even know how those drugs are going to react, and they haven't consulted anyone, including the pharmacist. So who better to join us to talk about this than, you know, they've covered this a zillion times, a lot of stories in Men's Health Magazine, and one of the editors from Men's Health Magazine, Greg Stebbin. Greg, thanks for popping on ATN.
It's great to be here. You know, this is really, it's a tragedy for a lot of reasons. I mean, clearly it's a tragedy for Whitney Houston's family, her friends, the music industry. She's a young woman. But what most people don't realize is these kinds of deaths are happening all the time in people that are way too early to die. They're getting addicted to prescription meds, often in cases they're painkillers. There's a whole industry in some states that are has just been created to feed people painkillers. They become easily addicted, and then in many cases they mix them with alcohol, and then the number of people who are way too young to die are dying from the same kind of overdose that it looks like Whitney Houston may have died of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's what I said at the top. A lot of times people don't even know how any of these drugs, absolutely, they don't know how that mixing the meds, as you were saying, with the alcohol, what it can do to you. And it's just happening more and more and more. And certainly with the celebrity deaths, the first thing I thought of was Heath Ledger, and then Michael Jackson naturally comes to mind, and Whitney Houston. I wonder if this is just the beginning of this sad string of celebrities.
Well, let me put this into perspective here. We actually did a story about this kind of drug overdose a year ago. It was exactly a year ago. And I remember the first time I read this article, it chilled my heart. I'm going to read you some statistics from that article. In 18 states, the number of deaths caused by drugs now exceeds the number of motor vehicle deaths.
Kidding.
That's staggering.
Yes.
That's staggering. By 2004, prescription and over-the-counter drugs were responsible for far more years of lost potential life than all accidents from falls, firearms, drownings, fires, and non-medication poisonings combined. There are more and more people taking meds, either don't understand the danger of mixing them or actually getting addicted to them or mixing them with other meds or alcohol. And the number of people who are dying is tremendous. And then there's a whole other side of this, Kate, that's equally scary. There's certain states, like we talk about in this article, Ohio and Florida, where there are small towns where, for instance, there's a town in Ohio that has 80,000 people. The population is 80,000 people. And that town has 9 clinics dedicated to pain relief, 9 pain clinics. And they're finding now that these kind of clinics are leading people to take these kinds of painkillers that lead to addiction. The people get hooked. They go out and start looking for stronger and stronger drugs. These are not people that you would have ever looked at and thought this is someone who would be a drug addict. These are people like you and I, and they're just now trying to fight the addiction in addition to the pain. And in many cases, it's leading to one or two different things. Death, as we've seen in the case of Whitney Houston. But here's the other shocker. Huge surges in local crime. Why? They're stealing stuff to feed their drug addict. And these are good, law-abiding people, or previously law-abiding people, who fell into a cycle of drug addiction that probably started as something like fighting pain and had no idea, were completely naive about how powerful these drugs or doctors were that they were given.
Wow, how scary is that to think? I mean, just what you just said, the statistics in that one town in Ohio, 9 pain clinics, so then you do the math and you think the people going in and out of there, and then what happens as a result. Jeez, and you know what, Greg, what's the answer to this problem? You know, there's the million-dollar question, or the $10 million question. What's the answer? Because I think people they're just trying to stop the pain, or they're placating themselves or whatever. How do you break that cycle?
I think there's a lot of forces that are going to make it very hard to break this cycle.
Yep.
One is, and I don't mean to point fingers, but I think it's pretty obvious to see, painkillers and medication is a huge business. And how do you break a cycle where you have the pharmaceutical industry that spends, I don't know, billions of dollars on marketing and advertising. And I don't mean to say they're bad, but we are taking more and more drugs that are more and more dangerous, and they're easier and easier to get. And that is a recipe for disaster. And as we see in the story, I mean, we're seeing the disaster unfold in front of us. There are towns like this one in Ohio where the population, they open the paper every day and look at the opiates and expect to see people there who have died at 20 or 30 or 40. And usually the death is listed as died in their sleep, but they now know they didn't die of natural causes in their sleep. They died of some kind of addiction. And this could be your brother, your cousin, your nephew. You know, think if that was someone who was close to you, how tragic that would be. And you know what? You may actually know someone this young who's passed away. I'm talking to everybody now. And the family just didn't say that's what really happened. And I think that's part of the other problem. Is there's a lot of shame in this, and people don't talk about what's really happening so that it can be more out in the open. It's way too many young people to be dying this way.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. Because it's the prescribing the pills, it's the vicious circle of it, it's the money that's to be made there, and ultimately, before you know it, you're hooked on it. I mean, how many people have I talked to, professionals, just even, and I've said this a couple of times now in this interview, you just forget the alcohol, just addicted to all kinds of different painkillers, and it gets worse. They can't get off of it, then they get onto something else, and it is just like any other, almost like any other illegal drug. They end up, I've known two people, Greg, professional people, very, very successful, but, you know, both of them, what they had in common is they were in car accidents and needed painkillers, got so addicted to them, they had to go and dry out. I mean, they had to go to a clinic to just get off of them.
That's exactly right. And the other thing is, these are not people who were heavy drinkers necessarily, or did play with recreational drugs. So I think that is a factor as well. It's even more foreign because they don't think of themselves as someone who recreationally experiments with these things. Or they're drinkers, but they don't think of themselves as drug takers because they're not. They're just taking pills that their doctors gave them. This is a real wake-up call, what happened to Whitney Houston. We have seen her go from, I think, a fairly innocent young woman in the early days of her career, and watched what happened to her life. And in a sense, her story is extreme, but in another sense, her story is the same story that is playing out in many families and many towns around the country. And let's hope people are talking more about this and we're getting better at identifying a problem in themselves or in friends and family, so that these kinds of deaths can go down instead of continuing to increase.
Yeah, I so agree with you. Greg Stebbin, one of the editors of Men's Health Magazine. Check it out. Thanks so much for coming on ATN.
It's great to be here, Kate.
If you're having any problems with the IRS or a local revenue agency, I understand and I can help. I'm tax attorney Tony Dennison. When I was a kid, the IRS came after my mother's house because of mistaken information. Ever since then, I've dedicated my life to defending people in trouble with the IRS. I'm a real tax attorney, which means I have two law degrees, a standard law degree known as a JD, and a tax law degree known as a Master's of the Laws in Taxation. I've been practicing for 10 years, and I've helped many of your fellow citizens in tax trouble. If you're in tax trouble, you don't need to be alone, and you don't need to call one of those fake lawyer clearinghouses. Call me, Tony Dennison, at Dennison Tax Law, 952-886-7141, or on the web at DennisonTaxLaw.com. It may be the best call you make all year. Dennison Tax Law, 952-886-7141. And again, on the web at DennisonTaxLaw.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Thousands of items, 47 categories, 101 name brands. Attention all outdoor geeks now listening to this broadcast. Your outfitters of outdoor gear and electronic gadgets is WildernessGeek.com. Discover a retail superstore of emergency survival, firearms, tactical accessories, camping, boating, hunting, and search and rescue gear like the life-saving laser flares used by Coast Guard and other rescue agencies. WildernessGeek.com is your electronic supplier of two-way and shortwave radios, GPSs, marine electronics, and portable solar chargers. Plus, WildernessGeek.com has experienced emergency search and rescue service personnel to help you find what you need and learn how to use it. And the best part? Free shipping on orders of $100 or more in the continental U.S. Plus, 5% discount to all radio listeners and rescuers. Go to WildernessGeek.com. That's WildernessGeek.com, the electronic outdoor emergency survival gear superstore.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. This is a great woman that we interviewed before, and I really like the conversation we had with Julia Shopik. She wrote a book called Honest Medicine, and she wrote the book for, I think, a lot of different reasons, but she became a patient advocate. And one of the reasons why is because she cared for her husband. Back in 1990, her husband, Tim Fisher, was diagnosed with a serious cancerous brain tumor. And I think some of us, this is news that some of you have had to deal with in your life and have had to figure out what you're going to do. So for the first 5 years after he was actually diagnosed, they followed what the doctors were telling him to do and the recommendations, which I can imagine that's what all of us think. He had surgery, underwent the chemo and the radiation, all the stuff that you normally hear about, and all of the treatments. But then there were side effects and complications, and that's when really Julia got wise to all of this, and that's a lot of what this book is about. Julia, thanks for coming back on the show with us.
And thanks for inviting me, Kate. I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, and I think it's so powerful to tell that story about your husband, because I'd have to say, you know what, I would think the same thing. I'm married. If that happened with my husband, I'd be, you know, I'd go through those stages of grief, and I've got to be the one. I've got to help. What am I going to do? And I'm sure you think doctor knows best, and I would do the same thing. And then you realize that something wasn't right, that it wasn't working, right?
I did, because he started, Kate, after about, as you said, the five-year mark, he just started to develop every complication that you can get from the treatments, not from the tumor. And, for instance, he even had a radiation-caused stroke. I had never known that you could get a stroke from radiation to the head, but you can. Huh. And he had several seizures, and he had, oh, my goodness, the skin kept giving a problem, and he got water on the brain. I can't even. I just, at a certain point, the five-year mark is about it, I decided I got to do something. I've got to find some kinds of treatments that are going to make his life not only prolonged, because I loved him, but more pleasant and healthier. So that's when I started researching, and we found a nutritionist whose area, believe it or not, was cancer and brain tumors. Her name is Dr. Jean Wallace. And I started, you know, really watching his diet and giving him a lot of supplements, and he outlived his prognosis by, are you ready for this, 12 years. He had really been given 3 years by the doctors, and he lived for 15. So we really were, you know, I was delighted. And the doctors, unfortunately, weren't even interested in the things that I had found for him. And, you know, selfishly, I guess that was okay with me, because at least they weren't stopping me, you know, from doing good things for him.
Yeah.
But then at around in 2001, he had a recurrence of his tumor. And this is at the time that I got the real aha moment that made me really want to put the germ in my head for writing a book. What happened was that his suture line, he had the surgery for the recurrence, and the suture line would not heal. And the doctors kept doing what they know how to do, which was to keep operating on this poor man's head to try to find two pieces of skin that would heal. And the more they did this, the worse he got. He had walked into the surgery just joking and, you know, in very good shape. And by the time they were through with him after 8 surgeries to try to find two pieces of skin that would heal, he was brain damaged, he was paralyzed, and he was incontinent. Mm. And at that point, a doctor friend that I was just talking with on behalf of a client, you know, I do public relations as well, and this doctor said, have you heard of Silverlawn? And I said, Silver, who, what? You know? And he told me about this wonderful product, which, by the way, I've never had any financial ties with. I just sing its praises because it saved my husband's life.
Right.
It is pieces of material that are impregnated with silver. And the doctors gave me permission to put it on his head. He was in the hospital, of course. And within 48 hours, his skin started to heal. To really close up. Overnight, you could tell that it was healing. And this is when I just learned a lot about the medical profession. Do you think the doctors were happy to see this?
No.
Not really.
No.
They actually went out of their way to tell me that they thought that it was not what I found. And they had the accent on what you found, you know me, that worked. And I said, well, what do you think it was? And this doctor who said that to me said, I think it was the vancomycin kicking in. And vancomycin is the antibiotic, the IV antibiotic. And I said, but Bill, he's been on this antibiotic, this vancomycin, for 6 weeks. And this doctor said, well, vanco is like that. It kicks in.
Mm.
I was amazed. And my head started to swim, and I started to think there must be other treatments out there that work that the doctors just don't accept because they aren't told about them by either a pharmaceutical company or a fellow doctor, and that can really help to save lives like the Silverlawn did for my husband. I hope I didn't abbreviate that story too much. But.
No. And I think it's very powerful, and people are listening to this. This is why look to other alternatives, dig deeper. This is what Julia did. And, you know, this is the question that comes up, and you pretty much answered it right there at the tail end. Why don't these types of treatments, why don't they do more clinical trials on them, for goodness sake? Because there's a success story, and I guarantee there are others. And the answer is, it's not part of the cycle of the pharmaceutical companies and the money. It's big money that's involved in medicine. Don't you think that this is part of the problem?
I think it's a huge part of the problem. And part of the problem, too, Kate, is that the treatment, I decided to write about treatments, as the subtitle of my book, Honest Medicine, says, that are effective, time-tested, inexpensive. I kind of put the emphasis on inexpensive and non-toxic, and that work for life-threatening disease, because the problem here is that clinical trials are done mostly by drug companies, And the drug companies have to feel they will get a return on their investment. And for instance, one of the treatments that I write about, low-dose naltrexone for autoimmune diseases like multiple sclerosis, lupus, Crohn's, it costs $25 to $40 maximum a month. No drug company that we know of would want to spend the billions of dollars a clinical trial takes cost to check this drug out in a big way. And if they did, guess what would happen? The price would go up to, say, $1,000 to $2,000 a month from $25 to $40. That would be tragic in itself.
Yeah, no kidding. So depressing. And see, I know people are listening to this. This is powerful information, powerful stuff, and they're going to write me emails. They're going to send me emails, and they're going to say, as happened before, how do they find out about these treatments? How can they get these treatments if they're in the middle of this or they're trying to uncover different things for their loved one or for themselves?
Well, one of the things would be to read my book, obviously, Honest Medicine. You can get it on Amazon. You can just go to honestmedicine.com, which is my website, my blog.
Sure.
And there are links to Amazon, and there are links to Barnes & Noble to buy my book. And also it's available on Kindle and Nook. But the main thing is that these treatments have been around that I write about, and I can tell you briefly about some if you want me to. But they've been around for years and years and years.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think you're right. I think that what somebody would have to do, because it would take us forever to go through all the treatments. But if they get your book, you do such an effective job of that. You tell about these different treatments and the things that you can do and the things that you can look at. And you've got a website set up too that has the link to every resource, right?
Honestmedicine.com. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking of trademarking Honest Medicine. That's me.
You need to do that, definitely. You need to blog about even more of these experiences. Absolutely. In writing this book, what ultimately, for everybody that's listening, what do you hope happens? That they poke a little further and just don't take a doctor at his word?
Yeah, what I hope happens is, you know how when you go to the doctor, Kate, and you trust the doctor, and then the treatments in many cases work. I'm not talking about these cases, but in many cases they don't work. And often the doctor will say, that's all that there is. Don't believe it. Because the rest of that sentence should be, and if they would say this, I would be so grateful, these are the only treatments that I know about. And with the internet out there, and with books like mine and lots of other books, believe me, you can find treatments. I mean, the treatments I write about work for a wide variety of illnesses and diseases, including autoimmune diseases. One of them that I write about works for end-stage liver disease. It has kept a lot of people from having liver transplants. And, of course, one of my favorites, the ketogenic diet, is fantastic for childhood epilepsy and even for adult epilepsy. And your doctor may not, will not, probably won't tell you about these treatments. They are not big money makers for big pharma. And I get excited, you know, because as you pointed out, people wrote to you or called you, how can I find out about these treatments and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
This is my God's work, because I almost get teary-eyed when I say that people have written to me at julia@honestmedicine.com, and they ask me, how can we find a doctor that will prescribe low-dose naltrexone for autoimmune diseases? How can we find a hospital that will administer the ketogenic diet? My child has epilepsy. I need the ketogenic diet. And this is just so wonderful that I feel that I can help people. And this is wonderful.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree. I agree, Julia. We're almost out of time. I just want to remind everyone, she's got incredible information in here. It's exactly what Julia is saying. Go and pick up a copy of Honest Medicine. Really, you owe it to yourself to have this, so you've got a reference. Julia Shopik, thanks so much for coming on our show again.
And Kate, thank you so much for inviting me. It's always a pleasure.
What if pain could be reduced, ailments could be alleviated, physical and mental stress could be eased, and blood circulation increased, all by simply lying down?
Introducing the original Biomet. The Biomet is an FDA-registered medical device that combines deep-penetrating infrared space-age technology and revitalizing negative ions with the incredible healing power of amethyst crystals. A Biomet can boost your immune system, relieve pain and stiffness, reduce stress and fatigue, and assist in detoxifying your body. Join the thousands of people reporting relief from chronic pain, fibromyalgia, arthritis, sports injuries, insomnia, and much more. Each Biomet comes with a lifetime trade-in and three-year warranty. Learn more at bio-mats.com, spelled bio-mats.com, or call 360-944-8692. That's 360-944-8692. Visit bio-mats.com today and enhance your life with a Biomat.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Listeners, it's Jason Lewis, and now that the holidays have come and gone, it's time to get serious about our New Year's resolutions. For 2012, resolve to protect your most valuable asset, your family. Daily, we hear about all the crazy stuff happening around the world, unemployment, food shortages, natural disasters, just to name a few. For my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna and savory stroganoff that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947 and enter promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Peace of mind, the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love.
Like a Virgin, I gotta throw this in. The song is just too good of a setup. Anybody catch a little bit of that snippet of the Meredith Vieira interview with the JFK intern who lost her virginity to the president? She was 19 years old, and within 4 days, he was taking her on a tour of the White House and seduced her in one of the rooms and then was constantly sending for her when she was back at Wheaton, when she was back at school. I think that's a bombshell book that she's got. And the reason I think that is because, do people believe that Jack Kennedy was a guy who fooled around in the White House? Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. Absolutely. But to the extent and to some of the things that happened, I don't know if you said, well, there was a 19-year-old intern who was there just 4 days, and before you know it, he would go take a bath with her when his wife was out of the country or was someplace else or whatever, and would send for her, and sometimes she spent the night. Whoa! A little over the top, I'd say. And she said, well, it was, you know, strictly he didn't kiss me or didn't do any of that kind of stuff, but sent for me. And during the Cuban Missile Crisis, she was there in the White House, but he never went to her then, but she was there. I wonder if there's going to be any kind of a blowback for some of the revelations in that. And maybe because so many of the people surrounding Kennedy are no longer living. However, you've got Caroline Kennedy and plenty of the other Kennedys who are around to defend the Kennedy name, but I guess they're in their own little bubble. They're not going to pay attention to this, and they're not concerned about it. But I would say if this book had come out a lot sooner, I mean, if this book had come out in the 70s, for example, and all these things were revealed, what kind of rippling effects would this have, what would this have made if all these things were said and about JFK and the way JFK is held up? I mean, are we just kind of anesthetized to, hey, a lot of these presidents were fooling around, or they did in the past. So maybe the whole idea that Angie Dickinson or some of the other people were rolled up in rugs to come to the White House isn't so far-fetched after all. And I think it was just a crazy story that she went into the swimming. What would happen is they'd go in the swimming pool. Can you just imagine how inappropriate that was? Hey, welcome to the White House. You've been an intern for 4 days. Oh, guess what? If you'd like to go take a swim, a bunch of us are going to be swimming in the White House pool. Then you go down there. First of all, you're stunned by that, but you say, yeah, why not? I'll roll with it. Sure. Hey, we're in the White House. You go swim in the pool, and then the president jumps into the pool, and you're swimming around with the president. Oh, I can almost think of a few jokes, but I'm just going to let them lie. It's safer that way, much safer that way. Before we stepped aside, I asked the question of women in the military and what she thought about women in the military, what the Pentagon is saying, that they're going to let women serve closer. There's been a lot of questions always about where women should be and what their role is in combat and how far away they should be. I mean, really, how far should they be with combat? The wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, where you've got battlefield lines that are certainly gray areas because insurgents could be anywhere. You know, I know that I was going to take a trip to one of the bases in Iraq, and they told me, well, this is exactly what a commander said to me. We'd love to have you. We've had lots of journalists, but just remember, if you're off, that's it. There's no insurance for that, and you've got to sign some waiver. And I started to think about my family, and I started to think about really what I was going to get out of the particular trip I was making, and I would have loved to bring that to you on America Tonight, but we were getting that anyway. We were talking to soldiers. We were getting all those stories. So I didn't think that there was anything I could add to the coverage at the time by going over to Iraq. I mean, if I had considered it now and there were other things that I were doing, I probably would have done it. But, you know, but that's the bottom line. I mean, they pretty much told me, yeah, you could be picked off. Of course you could be going to the base or whatever. And that's the thing. So women are not really clear of combat if you think about it that way, because it's a different kind of warfare at this point. Thousands have certainly served in those two wars, and more than 150 women have been killed who have served in either one of those spots. So some of you sounded off on that. It'd be worth quickly just going through some of those, and that includes... I'm going to go back here and talk about a few of them. The idea of putting, you know, women on the front lines. An Arkansas traveler, I love that moniker, by the way, for a chatter. Men and women have equal rights, but you in the military, you are under military law. The U.S. owns your butt. Rights, some, not at all. Highlight says, not a good idea. If our country was invaded, different story. You know what? I agree with that. Somebody said to me in a what-if game, what if we had an invasion in this country? Would you take up space and grab a gun and fight? And you bet I would. Would I be there on the front lines next to everybody else? And, you know, whatever happens. Of course I would be there. Absolutely. 100%. But that's a little bit of a different story than what we're talking about. Here. So men and women on the battlefield think about the capture situation. What happens if a female soldier is captured? And then the other thing is, what happens just with the upper body strength and the stamina? And I know women, there's women that are going to crucify me for saying this, but is the stamina the same? Could a woman pick up a 265-pound man and drag him away from, you know, with riddled with bullet holes but still surviving, away from the imminent threat? Word and Song says if women are going to get paid the same pay, then yes, they should do the work the men do. G.I. Jane, can you say it? Uh-huh. By the way, I also asked about JFK and the whole intern thing, and that was kind of funny, some of the things that I got back from that. I don't think anyone was surprised by JFK, but some of the details, ugh. Highlight even said, I thought President Kennedy had a bad back. He did, but that's why they say he went into the swimming pool every day, but he was surrounded by a bevy of beauties who were supposedly interns. Let's go to Al in Canada. Hello, Al.
Yeah, hi, Kate. You know, I heard one of the most rude, politically incorrect things. One of my friends is even more right-wing than I am. He said that the next war that Canada gets involved in, we should send nothing but feminists into battle on the front lines, then we get rid of them.
You're terrible.
But anyway,
that's mean.
I'm just the messenger. I'm just the messenger boy.
All right.
Okay, I just heard, I got a scoop for America tonight. Global warming has killed about 1,500 people in continental Europe. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, I know. But we call it climate evolution up here in Canada. We don't call it climate change. We call it climate evolution because no socialist or liberal can be. I've never met a socialist or liberal who's opposed to evolution. So, but anyway, okay, I just heard that Walmart is going to phase out all of its greeters. Did you see that story?
I did see that story. Why? Well, that's a lot of jobs.
Well, I guess they figured it's kind of they're kind of unnecessary, aren't they? I mean, they don't really perform any necessary.
No. It was just a job they had where they would say people would come in and, how are you today or whatever. It was just a greeter job.
I heard that President Obama saw that item on the news and he said, how much severance and notice do we have to give Biden? He said, how much severance pay do we got to give Biden? I just heard that Mitt Romney was using a song by a Canadian, a black rapper, a Canadian Somali refugee, a Canadian citizen, a Somali refugee. He was using a song. Why on earth would Mitt Romney have to come to Canada to get a, there's about a million rappers and hip-hop artists in the state. Why would he have to get a song from a, I don't know what made his spin
doctor. Because probably, Al, thanks for the call, probably a lot of the rappers in the U.S., didn't want Romney using their song based on his politics. I'm just thinking that might be the reason why.